We have a little P1 WAC housekeeping item to address here. And I really hadn't planned on getting into this. I swear I had not. Until I got a couple of emails from some of you who are regular contributors to the show, some of the guys who have guest hosted a number of times, and you were kind of looking for some sort of response here. And what I'm talking about is what seems to be a developing obsession with this show and Gordon Keith from the morning show. I think tensions must have been heightened on Saturday when I made a religiously oriented joke, because that seems to have been the focus all week long on the morning show of his ire. But the reason I bring this up is because I got a couple of emails from people, like I said, that were regular contributors to the show. And they were like, you know, if the show's going to get ripped on and diminished like that, it's kind of a shot at us. And I hadn't really thought of it that way, and they made a good point, and that's why I decided we should probably devote a little time to talking about this, particularly with the people who have been our regular contributors, or some of them. Understand that I don't want to turn this into a big thing. I kind of think this will probably be about the only time we really discuss it. We do this show for people who listen to it, not for people who don't. And although Gordo does not say this on the air in his criticism, and I really wish he would, he's never actually heard the show. He'll tell you that. He's told me that. He says that he bases this criticism on the 15-second promos that he hears in the morning. So that being said, I'm a whole lot more concerned about what someone has to say about the show that listens to it than someone who does not. But I think it's particularly ironic that this comes off of Ticket Stock Weekend, because this weekend, and Roddy Hayden-Walt was out there, you were volunteering, I don't know how many people really realized what we were doing out there, but we had a major undertaking. We had our own room, our own little side room out there at the Plano Center, a whole lot going on. Zamora the Torture King on Sunday, we did the Girls Gone Wild trip giveaway on Saturday. We had a lot going on. We had no actual ticket promo people working it. It was staffed entirely by P1s who have been on this show, about a dozen of them, guys who were giving up their entire weekend to help us out there for absolute, I mean, they got a t-shirt out of the deal. And that is really what this show has been about in this year and a half that we have been working on this. I feel like we have made about 500 new friends over the last year and a half. All of the people who have come and gone, who have been contributors to the show, some of them, like I said, many times. Some of you guys have hosted dozens and dozens of times. Some of you have taken the road trips with us. Walt and his wife went to Vegas with us. Like I said, Josh went to Jose Canseco's house with us. Curtis over here had us over for Christmas Eve. We spent Christmas Eve with you. And I think what people don't realize in any sort of criticism about this is that, you know, you guys take, we're not just talking about your devotion to the show and what's given it a little bit of rating success. We're talking about people who take days off from work. We're talking about people, you know, those trips were not all expenses paid. Some of the expenses were paid, but some of the stuff came out of your own pocket. Like I said, in Curtis's situation, opening up his house to us on Christmas Eve. I mean, we just couldn't do that, I don't think, if we had not built relationships with the people who were a part of this show over the year and a half or so that it's been on. And I want to do this. I want to have this discussion just to let you guys know. And when I say you guys, I mean not only the guys that are up here, not only the guys who have been, or girls who have been a guest host on this show, not maybe it's once or maybe it's a dozen times and you're out there, or just people who listen every night, the people who came up to me at Ticket Stock and said, hey, you know, I make sure to work an extra hour later at night now because that way I can check you guys out on the way home. That is so appreciated, for one, because it lets me have the coolest job in the world, but two, it lets me know that what we're doing here is entertaining somebody. So this discussion is more for you guys, because I just don't want anybody that is a loyalist to the show to feel like we're not going to defend them. And like I said, I don't want to turn this into a big battle. I really don't even want to get into it anymore because we've got our own things to get into. We've got our own ways that we want to entertain you, and that's what we're going to focus on. But that being said, if you've been hearing the things that were happening on the morning show and you missed the comments that were actually said at Ticket Stock and that sort of thing, I thought we could kind of revisit them for a moment, and then we'll get into a little bit about maybe some of the misconceptions about the show, because the guys that are here in studio are always in on the planning process behind the scenes before we actually go on the air. So with that, let me take you back to Saturday as the great Gordo and I were on a round table together, and I made a joke, a religious joke that really seemed to upset him. Now, if I'm not mistaken, with Wednesday right around the corner, isn't that the day, Gordo, that you walk around with the soot on your head?
Right.
Be Wednesday.
Ashes.
We can look forward to that.
That's soot. It's not like he's a chimney sweep.
Does that offend you in some way?
No, I look forward to it every year.
Oh, look at this silly, stupid thing.
No, I look forward.
I'll go get red highlights in my hair, but someone wearing something that means something to them, that's just offensive.
All right, now, my faith, my religious beliefs are a constant target on this station, and that's cool. I mean, that's part of the bit. You know, everybody knows, or if you don't know, I'm agnostic, and that's, you know, for Gordo, that has morphed into calling me soulless and this lost individual and all that sort of thing.
Man, you are soulless, but that's neither
right
there. Yeah.
For different reasons.
Right.
To be honest, you know, to pull the curtain back, not that anything that we do is scripted, but when I said that, I kind of thought, well, you know, we're just kicking off this roundtable, and I'm kind of teeing one up for him to come back with another, oh, this comes from the soulless, lost, agnostic, and all this sort of thing. Now, Curtis, you're a P1 preacher. You're a Baptist.
Right.
And, you know, I really didn't feel like that was some sort of biting commentary that I was giving condemning anyone's religious beliefs. I mean, that was a joke that I really didn't think was necessarily out of line. Could have rubbed somebody else the other way. And I thought, okay, well, worst case, maybe Gordo, as provocative and cutting edge as he can be sometimes, maybe he was really offended by the fact that I made some sort of joke about religion. But somewhere along the way, between Saturday, when I made the joke about Ash Wednesday, and this morning, it got okay to make jokes about Ash Wednesday, because this happened this morning.
Now, I swear, one of the priests at my church has a problem with it, too. Because when I was up there for the imposition of the ashes, he puts it on my head and says, you know, came from dust, and dust you shall return, whatever. And then there was a good-looking girl next to me, and he seemed to really be mashing his thumb hard into her forehead.
Now, come on.
And said, oh, yeah, you're really dust.
Come on.
Jeez. I'll make sure unto ashes you return.
Huh?
From ashes on your head?
Okay. You know what? I think that's funny. I mean, that's me, okay?
That is
it's
funny.
It's not that it's not funny. But
Gordo doesn't have red highlights, though.
Well, I'm telling you, and I wish he would talk to me about it. If anybody's wondering, well, why isn't he on, or why don't you go and talk to him? We tried this. Here's what happened. Stern refers to this as Gordo's flamethrower theory, where he'll just mow everything down and then go, what's the problem? There's no problem. We've tried this. I don't think he's real interested in getting this solved. But it just, when something like that happens, I think, well, I really don't understand why it's okay in one sense and not okay in the other. Now, the reason this really became an issue is not because of some little bickering between the two of us, but it was about the show itself and the content of the show. Because Gordo told me a couple of weeks ago, or a week or so ago, that he really felt like the show, being the P1 WAC, reinforced negative stereotypes about the station. And then this was said a couple of days later on the air.
He's made that nighttime show, which is, you know, supposed to be about the P1s, but he's made it about pornography and inroads that he can make into bunny ranches and porn producers.
Girls Gone Wild.
Girls Gone Wild.
Okay. Now I'm going to pull the curtain back again. And you know what? I might be shooting myself in the foot in the process because this image, this branding has gotten us a little bit of success in the last year and a half, but I'm going to let you in on a secret.
There's a hooker in his lap right now.
This show is not all about porn. Now, it got that sort of branding and reputation and whatever, and you know what? We don't have billboards and commercials that advertise our show. So frankly, as much as a highly rated morning show or afternoon show with the Hardline or whoever wants to spend talking about the P1 WAC, that is beneficial to us. So I've never shied away from just letting people run with the whole, you know, porn fest concept. But one, that's really not true. Okay? I went back and looked at every segment we have done so far this month, which is like 80 segments. We did, and keep in mind, this was a pretty adult-intensive month where we gave away a trip to the Bunny Ranch. We gave away, we went on a Girls Gone Wild video shoot, and we went on a trip to Mardi Gras with Girls Gone Wild. We did a total of 13 segments on anything that could be remotely construed as adult. We did 18 segments on politics and entertainment, and we did 44 segments on sports. So not only did we talk about adult content less than we did anything else, we spent most of our time talking about sports. I don't know how that happened, but we did. We spent exactly one less segment talking about arena football than we did adult content. Now, why don't people go, oh, man, the nighttime show, that's nothing but just an arena football fest. Well, the reason is because arena football is not provocative. You don't hear that. I mean, no offense to the Desperados, but you don't hear that in the promo and go, man, really? They're having that dude on? They're having a guy that put his ex-girlfriend's sex tape up on the internet? Listen, I wish I could tell you more about what this whole obsession with the show is on his part. I really don't understand it. I know it's really been fired up this week because of the Ash Wednesday comment that I made on the Saturday roundtable, but like I said, by this morning, he seemed to be over it because there was a whole bit going on about how the minister at his church had a hard time suppressing his sexual urges when he's mashing ashes into a hot girl's forehead.
Big Dick, what you said to me wasn't really all that shocking, especially compared to the whole discussion he had about in church and all the lust he had in his heart with all the women that he checked out at church. What you said really didn't, I hate to break your or hurt your feelings, wasn't really even that shockingly funny, to be honest. I mean, it was just sort of a comment tossed out that was sort of an aside more than a joke. I agree.
Listen, there is nothing, we all need to be what we are right here, this big happy family here at The Ticket. There is nothing more annoying than when the topless dancer calls the all-nude dancer a whore.
Yep.
Okay? We are the station of stiff shafts and balls in holes, and that's just when we're putting on a golf tournament. When we're running a contest, we're doing bouncing boobs and perfect pairs, all right? Let's not try to be painting any of this as art or my sophomoric humor is somehow more highbrow than yours. And again, I really think this will be the last time we spend a lot of time dealing with this on the air. I want people to understand that the reason we decided to do this, and, you know, we didn't say anything about it for the first couple of days of the week, but I got emails from people who have contributed to the show, like you guys, the P1s, and some P1s felt personally offended by it because they have put so much into this show. And like I said, as I look around the room, I see guys that have either had us into their home like Curtis on Christmas Eve or who have taken days off from work or pull money out of their own pocket to be part of our road trips. And, you know, I feel like you guys deserve a little defense. The fact that Gordo says he never listens to the show, I think, is kind of all you need to hear, because you know what? He told me that he bases these criticisms on the 15-second promos that run in the morning. This show cannot be explained in a 15-second promo. And I'm kind of proud of that. If it could be, I would think we'd be pretty shallow.
If it could, you wouldn't have a show.
Yes.
But
I just got to say one thing. We had you out at our house on Christmas. I mean, we enjoyed that. My family's gotten to know you, and we feel that you're a part of our family. I mean, you know, we've had you in our home.
Praying for him, too.
Yes.
You should be.
We've shared time with you, even outside of the show.
Right.
And, I mean, it's not just about this show. Gordo wants to say that all the shows are porn, it's porn fest. I disagree. If he wants to know what the show's about, he needs to listen.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if I can get you, a Baptist minister, to come on this show all the times that you've been on,
right,
and you feel comfortable on here, and it's not a Baptist minister talking porn. It's a Baptist minister being a Baptist minister,
right,
but also being yourself and who you are and feeling comfortable and feeling like your perspective is accepted on this show.
Right, I mean, I've been condemned to hell on this show.
Yeah, I've by another minister. Yeah. That was a whole other story. I've
hugged the gay guy on the show. I mean, you know, I mean, there's different perspectives. I mean, you know, I've been called out on the show. I've been dumped on the show. I mean,
it is your show. Yeah. It is your show.
Brother. You know, it's important to say, and I mean, I'd like to say a little bit of something. I mean, you asked me to come on here because you obviously know that it's actually impacted my life and something.
Right.
I mean, the first time that I came on the show, it was probably one of the lowest points in my life, necessarily. The reason why I got on this show is because of my sad relationship with my, you know, former ex-fiancé.
You kind of got left at the altar, basically. More close to it.
2 weeks from it, yeah. But, you know, it's been such a big encouragement to me just being on here. I've just been able to just discover something that I actually really enjoy doing, which is talking on the radio and just talking about opinions in general. And from that, I've really been able to, you know, just grow. And this really sounds like I should be running through a field of flowers here. So forgive me, all you guys out there. But, you know, it's given me just an avenue to understand and appreciate my gifts. And I know I've told you many a times how I appreciate everything that you've done for me.
Well,
it's been one of the neatest things I've ever done.
It's me that should be telling you that in all seriousness. Because I'm telling you, if I live to be 100 years old, I will never do anything this cool. I have the coolest job in the world. I get up every afternoon. But seriously, I never feel like I go to work. My life is this show. Everything that happens in my life, or just about everything, is a part of this show, and vice versa. And it is because the P1s contribute to it that it enables me to be able to do this.
But you know why? I mean, yeah, you get paid to do this, but I continue to say, and I know everyone in here and everyone out there who's ever been on the show is going to say this is the coolest thing that they've ever done. Because, you know, you get to come up to the ticket, you sit down in the chairs that every one of you guys have always sat in, and you talk to someone who is actually listening to you. And, I mean, it's like the thing that you would never think that you've been able to do, and it's great.
One of my favorite conservative talk shows is a guy named Michael Savage, and he has this one thing that says, you'll call in on my show and prepare to be heard by more people than you'll ever speak to in your entire life in just 15 seconds. Whereas this show clearly isn't syndicated nationwide.
Locally in the ratings, though.
When I talk, I mean, and I voice, you know, serious opinions, whereas my conservative belief or religious beliefs, more people are hearing me than realistically will ever, you know, hear me in person ever.
And see,
so
I think that's
a great opportunity.
And see, I think that's an important point because really, at this table, with the exception of the very liberal Rowdy Hate and Walt here, I mean, you guys are my political and in many ways social opposites. So,
right.
So
you know,
I just don't understand how if a show is so narrow-minded and so fixated on the filth of society and rolling around in it, how we can manage to bring so many people from so many different perspectives together, and they keep coming back.
One thing that occurs to me is, if you want to hear, even though I disagree just about on every point with several of the conservatives in here, I've heard the most intelligent conservative discussion on this show, either listening myself or being on, because it's usually really, really well reasoned, thought out, and it's not these shoot from the hip kind of, I mean, I'm sorry, but with a certain person on the morning show, he'll have this knee-jerk reaction and no explanation whatsoever, and it's really, really easy to hog time because he can't explain why he believes what he does.
Well, and
you get that.
Please understand again, I mean, I want this to be less about any other one individual and more about just the guys on this show, the P1 Wildlife Circus, just because Anybody is entitled to their opinion, but I I don't want anybody who comes on and guest hosts this show for free on the average of 12 times a year like some of you or more to feel like you don't get defended when someone who has never listened to the show that you're a part of is attacking you. All right.
You feel marginalized.
We've got just a minute here. Let's take a call or two on this at 214-787-1310 or #1310 on your cell. Steve in Grapevine. Steve, you're on the ticket.
Well, right before I went to break, one of the P1s there, I can't remember who it was, said it best. Now, I'm as much a P1 as anybody. I literally listen to nothing else. But no other show can say this, or nobody else has probably ever said it. He said, our show.
Yeah, that was what Josh said.
Yeah, and it is our show. Nobody else that calls in says, you know, the Hardline, this is our show. It's, you know, the P1 WAC is so much different in that you get us so involved. And we appreciate it bigger than anything. And we do feel like part of the family. And that's another word that just came up two or three times.
Well, Steve, I appreciate you saying that. And that's exactly how we want you to feel. And if you're taking that away from it, then you're getting the message. How about one more? No time. All right. Well, if you called in, we appreciate it. You can email me if you have something to say about this at BigDickHunter@Comcast.net and share your thoughts there. Like I said, I don't mean to bring the room down. I promise you we won't make this a habit. Everything on here should really be very fun. But I just want you guys to know that, you know, that you got defended, okay?
Yeah,
you got defended. Can we move on?
We appreciate it, Big Dick. It's not a matter, you know, we're not worried about what someone else says. That's fine. We appreciate you letting us come on and defend ourselves and say, hey, this is what we do. We do what we do. Let them do what they do.
I love you, Ray Stone hating Scott. All right. Ben and Skin are coming up next, live from the American Airlines Center. The Dallas Mavericks defeat the San Antonio Spurs 115-91. Ben and Skin, who look like a 10, will tell you all about it. Next, tune in tomorrow night, 9:10. Tori Wilson of the WWE joins us. Thanks to everyone, all our good P1s in studio. Mike Turley producing, Justin Neely technical.